Low temperature by Easter sunrise, 45, but a great recovery during the day on Easter with a high near 80. Sunshine and nearly perfect for the holiday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASE Credit Union. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASE Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
The News Network. I'm Andrew James. The Department of Corrections conducted a major security sweep at home and prison near Atmore Thursday. 300 state and local officers were on scene for the sweep. Multiple weapons and cell phones were found in the prison. Montgomery firefighters battled a house fire late last night in the 600 block of Ponce de Leon Avenue. Fire officials tell us no one was home at the time and no injuries were reported. The cause of the fire is under investigation. And the mayors of Alabama's five largest cities are speaking out against some proposals in the legislature. The five mayors oppose a bill that will allow the installation of utility poles and wireless facilities within city-owned rights of way. They also oppose an ordinance that restricts or limits the use of single-use containers by retailers. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Lowe's knows you're the powerhouse who does it right to show your yard who's boss. We do it right, too, with innovative Craftsman string trimmers featuring Easy Start technology for simpler pull starts. Shop now and add a new trimmer to your arsenal with a Craftsman two-cycle gas string trimmer for just $129. And for 2 days only, April 19th and 20th, all new and existing Lowe's credit card holders get 10% off purchases made with your Lowe's card. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Craftsman offer valid through 424. Credit offer subject to credit approval and can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast, but the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Dog is man's best friend. And while you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Acceptance Insurance are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Acceptance Insurance. Protection. Options. Peace of mind. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and Acceptance Insurance.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Mueller report is 448 pages, two volumes. The special counsel says he looked at 10 incidents that could potentially have led to obstruction of justice.
President Trump, his associates, and the Trump campaign could face other legal challenges. The special counsel referred a total of 14 matters of potential criminal activity to other prosecutors.
Police investigators reportedly suspect that an electrical short circuit may have caused that devastating fire at Notre Dame Cathedral.
Democrats want Robert Mueller to explain before the American people why he stopped short of making a call on obstruction of justice.
A man charged with attempted arson after walking into New York's famous St. Patrick's Cathedral with gasoline also allegedly booked a one-way ticket to Rome.
Violent weather is moving through the southeast. Tornado watch is up in Alabama.
Dramatic rescue from an underwater cave in rural Tennessee. Diver Josh Bratchley is found sitting on a ledge there, covered in mud. He was one of the heroes of the Thai cave rescue.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday. Good Friday, by the way. And hope everybody's going to have a great Easter. We'll be doing the Good Friday edition of the Dan Morris Show for hour number 3 at 2 o'clock And we also will be doing the drawing for the Tweet Creek Farm Market gift basket at the beginning at the 2 o'clock hour. If you want to get in, well, you better call 272-9228. We're about to start Legislative Roundtable, but I wanted to finish and let you hear George Papadopoulos, who's on Fox and Friends this morning.
Our next guest is named in the Mueller report to serve time due to the investigation, of course, and the media even quickly latched on to him as evidence, they called it evidence, of collusion.
In many ways, he set off this investigation, and the fact that he then went on and lied to investigators about his contact with the professor.
Papadopoulos received that relatively light sentence from the judge.
I just want to keep saying it, 14 days. He could have gotten up to 6 months.
How is it not collusion when George Papadopoulos is in contact with various people who are promising dirt on Hillary Clinton?
I just want to be clear that, like, this entire investigation gets started because Papadopoulos drunkenly runs his mouth to an Australian diplomat.
How does George Papadopoulos feel now that the report is out and confirms the probe found no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion and mentions him prominently, actually an igniter of the whole thing, perhaps. George, do you think you were treated fairly by this, by the Mueller report?
Look, thanks a lot for having me. Look, I was actually really impressed and quite frankly shocked that Bob Mueller told the truth about why I was illicitly targeted. And it really had nothing to do with Russia. It actually had to do with my ties to Israel, which he makes it very clear in the memo. So now this is why this is really important, because if I was targeted for my ties to Israel, and I had all these various spies approaching me while I was just joining the campaign and they were discussing Israel with me, I think that's very disturbing, and it probably is going to reveal, quite frankly, how this entire investigation started, because I likely had this target on me immediately upon joining the campaign. So that's the first thing. And secondly, this artificial date of how the investigation started on July 31st, I think has been completely debunked now, and a lot of these conspiracy theorists out there, like, The whole story was that Alexander Downer and I had been discussing this this off-the-cuff statement about hacked emails or something along that line in a bar in London. Now, with the new evidence we have that I was targeted and I was under surveillance upon joining the Trump campaign for my ties to Israel, it suggests to me that Alexander Downer was clearly also spying on me. And, according to my own testimony to Congress, this is something that, a lot of people should look into.
Yeah.
I think people like Mark Meadows and others think that there are transcripts of this meeting. And, I think it's going to really upend this old narrative.
Yeah. Well,
but besides that,
So it started out with Israel. And the interesting thing is, you remember Barack Obama was trying to get Netanyahu defeated during this time. So did they go in and tag him like they tagged senators and members of Congress? You remember they were talking to people about Israel and having Netanyahu speak before Congress and this kind of stuff? They were wiretapping members of Congress? I wonder if he got caught up in that, and that's why it started out with Israel. So let's continue on with George Papadopoulos here.
We don't know whether Downer was spying on you. You're obviously raising that question. The president wants to investigate the investigator. Yeah. So presumably we will finally one day get to the bottom of that. I want to directly ask you, we played that clip. What's your message this morning to Jim Acosta, other journalists who alleged that your case proved that there was collusion with Russia, when now the special counsel is saying after 22 months there was no collusion? What's your message to Acosta and others?
Well, of course there was no collusion, and of course I wasn't colluding because I've never met a Russian official in my entire life, let alone on the campaign or the transition team. And, quite comically, the guy that's at the epicenter of this fake collusion story, Joseph Mifsud, he was just outed yesterday by the Italians, and he's been living next to the U.S. Embassy for the last year.
Wait, I thought that was Russian contact. They say he was the Russian contact.
Well, I don't know how these Russian contacts like Joseph Mifsud are training CIA and FBI and MI6 figures in Rome like this guy currently is doing. But, I think this guy's going to start talking, and possibly there's already been a deal made between the Italians and our country to have him testify and actually reveal what he was really up to. Because, quite frankly, I don't think anybody's buying that this guy was some sort of Russian intermediary or Russian spy trying to collude with me. And, quite frankly, even people like Rudy Giuliani are going public and stating that he was probably part of some sort of setup. Now, that's why my case is actually so fascinating, why it's probably going to be very important moving forward. One, like I stated, because there was obviously this targeting of me for my ties to Israel, which attracted all of these spies. And two, who was running these guys at me? Yeah. And where did it come from? Was it the Obama administration? Was it the head of the UK government? We'll have to find out.
Yeah, there's a lot more we're going to learn in the days ahead. George Papadopoulos, we appreciate you coming in with your reaction.
Okay, so the guy that has been missing, all of a sudden they found him, and he's living next door to the U.S. Embassy in Rome. And so the Italy newspaper, somehow they dropped a dime with them to say, here's the guy. And the, so if you go through, you can read some articles on it. If you go to the Daily Mail and places like that to look at this. This thing is about to explode, folks. It's about to explode. 272-9228. Let me bring in Senator Will Barfoot. Will, how are you today, my friend?
Fine, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you being here today. Tell me what's going on down at the House, I mean down at the Senate, and let's start out with the pot bill and reducing the penalties on that. Where does that stand, and how do you stand with it or against it?
Got through a Senate committee, a Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. It will be on the Senate calendar. Of course, you know that being on the calendar in the Senate does not equate to voting on it. It has to be on a special order calendar, and that's set by the rules chairman. Whether or not that'll come up next week or the following or even at all this session, I don't know. That bill basically for personal use, it kept it a felony if it's over a certain amount. For personal use currently, there's two ways that you could, if on a misdemeanor currently, it had to be under a certain amount of marijuana, it was a misdemeanor. Over a certain amount, or with a prior conviction, even if it was under that amount, could be a felony. So
a prior pot possession.
That's correct. That's correct.
Is the amount 1 ounce?
I don't remember, quite honestly, if it's 1 ounce, or if we changed it to two, or if it two was the original, we dropped it to one. I don't remember the details about that.
Okay.
So the first personal possession would be a violation.
A misdemeanor.
It would not even be a misdemeanor. It would be a
ticket.
A violation. Second one would be a misdemeanor as it currently is. And then the third one would be a potential felony.
Interesting. How about medical marijuana? And is the grow your own still in there?
That has not come before the Senate yet. I know Representative Ball had that in the House. I haven't seen the language of that bill. I am for the medical community being allowed to use that in certain aspects, but the details of that bill I don't know. I would certainly you have to have control over it. You don't want somebody to be caught with something and say, hey, listen, doc gave it to me, and not have a prescription. Also, it's important to get, I think, law enforcement's stand on that. So I haven't seen that bill, and I'm sure if it makes it through the House that we'll address it, probably in judiciary.
Let's talk about lottery. Which bill are you for, and how do you think those are going to go?
There's currently two bills that have been filed. There's the possibility of a third being filed. The two bills, number one, the sponsor of the first bill is Senator McClendon.
Right.
The second one is Senator Albritton. My guess is that Senator Albritton's bill receives a little bit more traction.
Because of the electronic lottery?
That's correct. I think there are some people who are scared of the electronic portion in Senator McClendon's bill and the ability to play the lottery as well as potentially other games on your cell phone device. There was some discussion about whether or not you could simply buy a lottery ticket like a plane ticket from your phone, or if it extended to, if the capability came about to almost like a scratch off from doing it to your on your phone, instant gratification. I think there's some concerns about that.
How do you think those, particularly the paper only bill, how do you think that will fare?
Gut feeling, I believe that one of them will get out of the Senate. I suspect that the bill that is successful in the Senate will be Albritton's bill, the paper only, Mega Millions. I'm going to use terms that I don't know because I don't typically play the lottery. If I go to the state, if I pull over for gas, I may go in, here's $2 for a ticket. But the the state lottery, as well as the Mega Millions lottery, paper-only lottery that All Britain is sponsored, Senator All Britain sponsored. I suspect that'll get the most push. What happens to it down in the House, I don't know, because I don't know the will of the House. So,
tell me about budget.
Well, you know, we've got, looks like moving pretty fast. Typically, you know, you kind of wait till the end of the session, and that's the big issue is the budget. My guess is that that Senator All Britain in the Senate, the chair of the general fund over in the House, I believe is, I'm drawing a blank. Both budget chairs in the House and the Senate for the education and general fund, I believe, are probably working together very well. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of fight about that. You know, remember, Governor Ivey said several months ago at her inaugural address that it's important. It's difficult sometimes when there's not enough money in the budget, but sometimes maybe the more difficult thing is when there is money in the budget, not to spend just because you have it. And I'm hopeful that there'll be those two budget chairs and the budget committee members will do a good job to make sure we don't spend it just because we have it.
News on 93.1 FM, Legislative Roundtable, Will Barfoot in the House. Mike Holmes should be calling in just a few minutes. Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey, River Region, Dave Ramsey here. We all want a good-looking yard, right? Unfortunately, not everyone can afford to hire professional landscapers. But there are some great ways to do it yourself, save lots of cash, and have a yard you love that adds value to your home. I'm talking about going to see the experts at Southern Homes and Gardens right here in Montgomery. Southern Homes and Gardens can help you add curb appeal to your tired yard, make over your backyard, or upgrade your outdoor furniture at unbelievable prices. And if they grow the plants, you don't pay tax. How about that for value? You're saving 10% right off the top. Folks, sticking to a budget doesn't mean you should settle for no curb appeal. Give Southern Home and Garden a call today. 334-387-0440. That's 334-387-0440. Or visit southernhomesandgardens.com and tell them Dave sent you. Call 334-387-0440.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Your News Talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show, noon till 3, only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful.
Let's just say the roundtable doing a little early because it's Good Friday. We want to dedicate the last hour towards Good Friday. If you want to get in on the drawing for this weekly farm market gift basket, give me a call at 272-9228. We'll be doing that drawing right after 2 o'clock. Let me bring in Representative Mike Holmes to join the discussion here. Mike, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thank you. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Fine, Mike.
We're doing good. Doing good. I love this. I was just saying to the audience, I love this time of the year. This Holy Week is really special to me. Mike, let me ask you the several questions that I just asked Will. Number one is the marijuana possession bill. What's your feeling on that, and how do you think it'll fare?
Well, I know how my constituents feel, and I know how my emails and the phone calls are running. Most of my folks are concerned that whatever legalizations we do toward recreational is going to be a slippery slope. And that's not where they want to go. They don't want to go the route of Colorado or some of the other states that have totally legalized recreational. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I've not seen it on any calendar yet, so I don't know when we might get to it, but I'm sure we're going to see it in the next few weeks.
How about the medical marijuana portion?
I was one of the sponsors of Lenny's Law, as you probably remember, three years ago. And that was the way I was able to compromise with my constituents that didn't want to open the door at all, but to have it under prescription control through University of Alabama, Birmingham. And that seems to have worked out okay, except that there is some constrictions, some constraint on the number of people that want to be part of that study. And it is still what it was, a study. So they're limited to how many patients they can take in to do that CBD oil with. So I've got mixed emotions about that, too. I need to learn a lot more before it comes time to vote on that.
Tell me about lottery and the two bills that are out there. What's your sense of the lottery, and do you think it will make it to the ballot?
I don't know. I know how the majority of my constituents probably are neutral to against the lottery. However, most of them are saying if you are going to let the Indians do it, why not let private enterprise do it, tied into a lottery bill, however they tie that in. I know Jim McClendon's bill actually had a lottery software package that would go along with that to turn the machines in the private enterprise side as well as the Forge Creek side into lottery-based slot machines is the way I understood it. So, I don't see how we can continue to give the Forge Creeks just an out-and-out monopoly. If we're going to legalize it, it needs to be for private sector individuals as well, to me.
Are you more towards the paper only, or are you more towards electronic?
Electronic. I think that the way they're doing it, it's much more efficient and effective that way. But again, I want to be sure if we're going to do it, let's legalize it for private sector enterprise as well as the Forge Creeks.
On the phone with us is Mike Holmes. In studio is Will Barfoot, Senator Will Barfoot, and we're doing a legislative roundtable. If you have a question, comment, or viewpoint for either of them, 272-9228. Mike and Will, let's just ask Will about the budget. Tell me how the budget is doing. Has it cleared the House and has been transmitted over to the Senate yet?
General fund was passed last week, so it was over a week ago we passed the general fund.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it was about the earliest I've ever seen in the 5 years I've been there. In fact, it is the earliest by far. And it was the interesting thing, too, was unanimous. I mean, there was not a no vote, not an abstention. Every member there, I think it was 103-0.
Wow.
So, and the reason for that, it was fairly non-controversial with the increase in revenue over the past 2 years and an apparently modest projection ahead, realizing that can't go on forever, so it's probably going to be a setback. And the fact that we know that the windfall that happened this last year with Medicaid actually asking for less money in this budget we just passed, not going to happen. Not only are we not going to have that 50 or 60 million extra to work with, well, they'll need another 60 million or so. So probably be another 120 million on top of that next year. So this is a temporary situation. I think that's part of why it was easier, so that little bit of extra money to work with.
News 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show. Will Barfoot, Mike Holmes in the house. Let me ask both of you this question. Start with you, Will. Prison system. What is the discussion? And has anybody come up with any kind of plan that you can look at to talk about locations?
No. Let me talk about it more comprehensive than just locations. There was a Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice report indicating, and this is a week or so ago, that they gave the state of Alabama, I think, 44 days to come up with a comprehensive plan regarding prisons, including in that not only the overcrowding, but understaffing, what DOJ says is understaffing, overcrowding, and mental health side of the equation. My guess is that there will be a comprehensive look that will include the building of more prisons. That could either be done, potentially the plans are one of two ways, to lease those prisons back, have private enterprise build brick and mortar prisons, and then lease those back. That is something that the governor could do, I believe. It would come through the joint contract review committee.
But it has to be voted on every year.
It would have to be voted on every year because, as I understand it, the state can only enter into a lease agreement for up to a year. The second way would be a potential bond issue. My guess is, or I understand that just financially, that bond issue, it may be a savings to taxpayers. To enter a bond issue that you get a better rate of return doing a bond issue to build those prisons than maybe through private enterprise. But again, those are discussions that we'll continue to have over the next couple of weeks. We certainly want to take care of the mental health population in prisons. And there is, I suspect, a significant percentage of that population does suffer from mental illness. And I think that's, quite honestly, one of the things in the federal lawsuit that's out there now.
It, Michael, how's your feeling on the prison system, whether it's
well,
a lease
well,
or,
yeah,
or bond?
I'm hearing the same things you guys are hearing. One thing I heard new yesterday that really was encouraging to me, almost 3 years ago, well, not that long ago, 2 years ago, several other House members and I met with the governor and suggested to her at that time, instead of thinking that we can solve our prison problems by building shiny new large super prisons, we need to go back and actually figure out what our problems are. And they're multitude. I mean, we got the mental health issue that we've already been mandated. We got the physical health, all the other mistreatment and bad things that are going on inside there that this new lawsuit is going to demand being fixed immediately. Why not bring in an outside force like we did at Tutwiler? And Dan, you and I have talked about this before, but having a professional group come in, tell you what the problems are, give you a plan of action to go after and fix those problems. And I suspect there's going to be some building as a part of that. But I don't think that we can just sit here and assume that building shiny new prisons are going to solve all the issues we got inside these prisons.
Right.
It's just not. It's just a fact. In fact, the nation is going away from super prisons to smaller prisons. Those smaller, lower ratios have worked better wherever they've tried it versus the super cells. So I would love to see the governor go forward with that. And then there's a federal organization that did the Tutwiler study, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, has staff ready to do that. They don't charge anything for it except their expenses for bringing their crew. And I think the crew at Tutwiler was about a dozen people that stayed there probably 30 days. And they just came up with a really comprehensive outline of here's what your problems are. Here are the bad actors. These people need to be indicted or whatever, arrested. They need to be fired. And just went through the whole process. You got criminal action here, here, and here. Here's what you need to come back and fix. And they had, as I recall, I think it was an 84-point plan, and that was back toward the end of Bentley's term. By that time, when he was resigned, I think 82 out of the 84 things were accomplished, and I think we all know now the story at Tutwiler. It's the women's showplace for the nation now, the women's prison, but because of those changes. and that's the oldest prison we've got. So, and that proves to you that building shiny new prisons is not the only answer to this. We've got to figure out what our problems are.
That's the argument for new schools. You know, we have a bright, shiny new school, but it's what's inside the school building that matters and how it's conducted.
You've got to have great administration, principals, teachers, everybody in that school to make it a great school.
News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday, Good Friday. Mike Holmes, Will Barfoot in the house. We're going to go to a quick break. If you have a question, comment, or viewpoint, it's 272-9228.
Your news talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Randy, why do you plant a garden?
Well, I raise a garden with my family every year, and it's just kind of in my blood.
Well, what if you don't know how to raise a garden?
Well, that's when you come to Prattville Farm Center, because we have the seed and the supplies and the knowledge to help you whether you're an old hand or just starting out.
So come get your family garden started today at Prattville Farm Center.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and like them on Facebook.
If it's electrical, we do it all. We'll be there for you anytime, day or night, and we'll get it done. We'll do it right. We're Mr. Electric. We have the power to make things better.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. A Democratic heavyweight expected to make it official next Wednesday in the race for the White House. Former Vice President Joe Biden
remains atop the Real Clear Politics average of polls among Democratic contenders at 30% support to Bernie Sanders, 22.5%. Beto stands at 8.8%, and Kamala Harris in at fourth at 8.5%.
Fox's Doug McElway.
The recent spate of Me Too accusations against Biden seems not to have had any lasting damage, especially after his promise to pull back on some of the touchy-feely stuff.
Protests in Bangladesh after a girl is burned to death for refusing to drop sexual harassment charges against her school principal. And a recall affecting more than 320,000 Dodge Dart compact cars in North America for a defect which could prevent drivers from shifting vehicles into park. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We've had a big change of seasons behind the storms with a rather brisk forecast. Much cooler today with a high temperature perhaps up to 60, but those winds gusting 15 to 25 miles per hour and higher will make it seem a lot colder. Occasional showers from time to time today and maybe a couple of leftover showers tonight. It turns colder tonight, low 45. The sun returns tomorrow, but still rather brisk, high 66. Gusty winds add a bite to the air. Then chilly again Saturday night, low temperature by Easter sunrise. Rise 45, but a great recovery during the day on Easter with a high near 80. Sunshine and nearly perfect for the holiday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
What's getting in the way of you living your best life, your prime life? Visit Prime South Bank and you'll find the service and tools for you to enjoy a prime life. From free checking to the perks of personal attention, Prime South Bank is ready to serve you in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Montgomery, and online. Member FDIC.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Barfoot, Senator Will Barfoot, Representative Mike Holmes, doing Legislator Roundtable. Let's go to the phones and go to Randall. Randall, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Good evening. Good evening, Representatives. I love the way you're thinking about the prison thing to start with. And to add to it, can you adopt some of the things that President Trump has come up with for the federal system that's, you know, getting these folks out pretty quick? I mean, getting them rehabilitated, like, you know, what they, because they made a mistake, you know, they ain't just throwing them like dogs and left, you know what I mean, to make money. So is there a way you can incorporate his stuff and carry on and help, you know, turn to the housing more, get rid of them and not have to even build no more prison? And then I heard you mention about the CBD oil, Ms. Holmes, ain't that already, I mean, you can pretty much get CBD oil, no problem, right? I mean, Mr. Steve didn't okay that already. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. That's my two questions.
Will, you want to take that?
Well, I will. I think a part of the overall potential package is to make sure that let me back up. We've done a pretty good job of incarcerating individuals, and rightfully so, that need to be incarcerated over the past 20, 30 years.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, is that you have the hardest of hard ones that are in there now. It's not like it used to be.
That's true. The second thing, that part of that equation is, and we just had a bill passed the Senate Judiciary. I don't know where, it hasn't come on the Senate floor yet, but you take an inmate who is eligible for training through, say, J.F. Ingram up in Elmore County,
mm-hmm.
and they get a license as an electrician, as a carpenter, welder. They've picked up some kind of skill, but because they've been in prison, we can't afford them. We can't give them a license. So why are we spending money on individuals to get training, and then they can't even get a license once they get out? So we've changed that. So there are certain crimes, there's a list of them, that if you have formal training, even if you're a felon, that you can get a permit to perform that specific type of manual labor, trade skill. Doesn't mean that the employers out there can't look at the fact that you're a felon, and they may not want to hire you, rightfully so. But you can get a license to be, if you are certified, say an electrician, a plumber, whatever trade skill that they picked up at J.F. Ingram.
Mike, how about you on that? Are you for doing some judicial reform?
Yes, the judicial reform is working, as Randall said. We've gotten the population down from almost 30,000 people to around 18,900 now. And as Senator Barfoot just said, who's left behind is pretty much hardened criminals now. So, I mean, it's not as easy from here on out to reduce that population. But one of the things is Ingram State is a great, in fact, I sat on that advisory board, and we for the last 2 or 3 years have been helping those graduates coming out of there that, like he was saying, are struggling trying to get their licensure and their tools, their first set of tools to go to work with. So we actually formed a foundation and raised some significant funds over there to be able to give those guys some kind of a graduation present when they get released and get their certification and their education completed. And there's demand for jobs. We've got lines of people waiting to hire them. We just need to, you know, turn them out as fast as we can and get them trained and qualified so that they're going to be safe to our public on the outside. They're not going to be bad actors on the outside. And they're going to have a chance to succeed when they get there, especially once they get their basic tools and get that certification. There's people there that want to hire them already. So that's the way to continue to whittle away at it.
There really is a demand for certified workers and laborers. Let me go to the phone, and let me go. This should be an interesting call. Inmate Roy. Inmate Roy, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, Dan.
How have you been, buddy?
I'm doing great, buddy. A little over 4 years I've been out.
I know. Congratulations. You and I have been talking for a while.
Yes, sir. I love your show. I love News Talk anyway. Dan, I think they're skipping over a big factor, and that big factor is you've got inmates that are sentenced to a 10-year to 20. You've got inmates on the same crime that have done 10 years and got out. You've got inmates doing the whole 20. The sentencing structure's got to be changed or some kind of way, because you can't sentence one man to 10 years and sentence for the same crime and sentence somebody else to 20 years. And then I know guys in that. Well, I was at the pro board last week for a guy. He's done 17 and a half on 20, and they denied him again, but which is fine. I mean, that part of that's not my issue. Is the 17 and a half should have been enough on 20. No matter what, that man's going to get out.
So he's EOS in 20?
Yeah.
Okay. You
know, they basically told him go ahead to EOS to 20, that they're not going to let him out early. So you still got a lot of that in there. They got to address that. Crime is crime, and I hate that I did the things that I did, but I took advantage of going to prison, and my mentor told me, look, you're going to prison. Why don't you go down there and get everything that you can get that they have to offer you?
There you go.
So I did that. I taught the GED class at Draper, J.F. Ingram at State. They're a great school. If the guys want to actually sign up and go to it, the problem you have is a lot of guys hadn't made it to the rehabilitation state to where they think they need to go and get that done. So you can't help somebody until they're willing to help themselves. And once they're willing to help themselves,
and that's part of the screening process that's over there at Ingram, it's working better and better. The more practice they have, the better they get at screening. They're really sincere. The guys that are ready for rehabilitation and really do are sincerely wanting to get back into the public sector and public side and become citizens and taxpaying citizens at that, and just change their life. And they're getting better at that process. It's not perfect, for sure, but it's getting better, and the tools are getting better as they go along and learn.
But they are getting better. But let's remember one thing, too, now. I did 22 years, 7 months, and 3 days in there on a 34-year sentence. When I made parole, I was handed $20 and said, get out.
And that's a tough road to hoe, walking out of there with $20 and no licensing, no car, no way to get to work, and no place to live.
But as everybody in the audience knows, I found a church to help me and done, you know, and made my success story. But it's with my determination and a great being surrounded by a great group of people that can help you in every aspect of life. But if it comes up and you have a problem, you have to know where to go to and where to turn.
Amen to that, brother. Support is it. The people that come out and go back to their old home and stuff, that's where they mess up.
Even this radio station, they were such a great support to me because we talk about the issues, and for me being on the inside and allowing me to express my views from the inside and keeping it real, what's really going on out there. You guys, you have to know what's really going on. If you find out what's really going on, then you can work through all these issues together as a team and make things happen for this great state of Alabama. I love it here in Alabama. I don't care if I was convicted of a crime. You know what? I still love the state of Alabama. It wasn't Alabama's fault that I did what I did. So I had to admit my own mistakes and open up my own heart to a whole new way of thinking. And if you'll find a great church while you're in prison, you're going to have it when you get out. I don't care what anybody says. You're going to have a great church family.
And May Roy, you're amen to that, brother. I want you to have a wonderful Easter, and I really appreciate you calling in today.
Thank you, Dan.
Take care.
What a great call.
I know. Wow. Let me tell you, when he is somebody who really has literally made it out. He was over in Staten, I believe, and that's a great, great story he's got.
Let me chime in a little bit on that, Dan. Inmate Roy, you know, that's a guy who's taken personal responsibility for his actions, quite honestly. Vast majority of individuals who are locked up in DOC have not taken responsibility for their actions, and the problem is that when they're in there, they don't take responsibility for their actions, and they get out, and they believe that, hey, what I did, the man has kept me down. They don't benefit from their time in there like he did. You know, we've had voluntary sentencing reform several years ago that basically narrowed the scope of punishment, what right. judges could give out. It's almost like the federal system where there's an allocation of points depending on which crime you did, what your history's like, and all that's taken into account. I think that has reduced the prison population over the past 7-8 years or so. But he's right. Once you get out,
You
got to have support because most of those people are in there because they didn't have support to begin with.
Well, having been in and out of prisons for a lot of years doing prison ministry, inmates will tell you that what prison really is it's crime school. You learn how to commit crimes better and we don't get caught. So you go to crime school, they call it. Let's go to the phones and go to Bud. Bud, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Will Barford and Mike Holmes.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm greatly enjoying the conversation. And especially listening, was it prison inmate Larry? I'm not
inmate
the
Roy.
Previous caller. Inmate Roy. Let me say this. I absolutely, and listening to the gentleman there talking about the different certifications, how it's difficult for them to find a job once they come out, because employers, I can definitely understand they're reluctant to hire them. I was in management for 20 years, and as a manager or a business, you're always reluctant to hire somebody that could possibly endanger your current employers. But there are so, I'm a commercial truck driver now. There's such a shortage for truck drivers. There is one truck driving firm, it's PTL, I won't give the name, but in the trucking industry, we call it prison truck lines, because they will go the extra mile to get the people, the felons, give them that extra opportunity. Yeah, I remember several months ago, I have some property up in Elmore County. They were doing some road construction work, and I was talking to a flag man there for about 25 minutes. I was flagged down. He's a prison inmate. He was talking about might be able to get out in a couple years. He was a felon. He went in for buying stolen merchandise. But he's looking at, okay, what can I do when I get out? And I'm telling him, okay, come out, get your CDL. Your first year, you can make $45,000 to $50,000, even though you are a convicted felon. You know, do you have any kind of DUI? Yeah, that was 8 or 10 years ago. Well, I don't know how a truck line would look. Okay, you haven't drunk for 8 or 10 years, you know, but you didn't have the opportunity. Yeah, but even if you could get a CDL. Yeah, I mean, we do know there's, from what you read in the newspaper, from the different reports out there that I've read on WSFA, the rampant drug use still going on within the prison system. You've got to get these prisoners that are getting close to getting out, get them the drug rehab, get them the alcohol rehab, whatever the case may be, and don't just look at a conventional electrician, bricklayer, carpentry, that type of stuff. There is a lot of opportunity out there, and businesses that are willing to take that risk on them, primarily trucking, since I'm into it now, and I really know there's 51,000 truck driver shortage currently in America. Truck drivers, businesses will jump on inmates if they are drug-free, if they're alcohol-free, if they've got their license, straight up out of school, 3 weeks in class, and they can be making $40,000 or $50,000. And so, yes, sir.
Let me tell you this. There is a bill that I think was dropped this past week that would lower the age for to qualify for CDL from 21 to 18 or 21 to 19. And that's basically because there's a shortage of truck drivers out there. So same requirements.
Can I say that's a terrible idea, because what you're talking about is put an 18 or 19-year-old in charge of an 80,000-pound bullet.
I understand that. And there may be some, you know, you're in that business. Those who support it say, listen, age-wise, between a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old, we send 18-year-olds off to...
Oh, my God. Statistics is crazy. It's deadly.
We send 18-year-olds off to war. Why can't we put them driving a big rig, if they had the same criteria to get a CDL that a 21-year-old does?
But that's a telephone call.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the PGA jurisdictions and changing that. Tell me what you think that bill. That's SB 23?
SB 23 passed the Senate Thursday. That is a bill that would, in essence, the police jurisdictions, depending on the size of the municipality, ranges 3 miles as the crow flies outside of the city limits. So what that bill does is freezes the current police jurisdiction where it's at now. It allows the city to continue to grow, obviously, doesn't put prohibition on the city, but will grow into the existing police jurisdiction, in the case of Montgomery, 3 miles outside the city limits. And as the city grows into it or begins to grow past that police jurisdiction, the police jurisdiction mirrors what the city limits is. That was a bill that had a lot of pushback to begin with. I think it passed the Senate unanimously. There were some amendments. Senator Chambliss had some amendments to it. One of those was that zoning restrictions, I think, or neighborhood zoning restrictions would still apply to those areas that were outside the police jurisdiction, I believe.
Mike, how do you feel about SB 23?
I've not actually looked at the actual bill, but from what I hear Senator Bartlett saying, I think it could work with that. We had a trial run in Wetumpka several years back that went to a 3 mile. They voluntarily cut theirs back to a mile and a half because of the policing problems, the manpower and the automobiles and so forth were more expensive than they were getting return out of cases out of that part. So they would turn it back over to the sheriff, and the sheriff was already ready to handle it. So that worked out very smooth. So you can outgrow your reach if you're not careful with that police jurisdiction. So there's some challenges there. Speaking of Elmore County, can I bring up one other quick thing that's about to happen before we go off the air?
Let me do this. I'm laying on a break, and you're going to be part of a replay here. Let me go to a break, and I'll come right back to you on that.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Dan Marshall, we're going to be back. Will Barfoot, Mike Holmes, right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Giving voice to liberty in our time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Alabama is a state deeply rooted in military tradition, and we at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make each and every day. I'm Kim Williams, and I'm here to tell you there is a difference in mortgage companies. Don't be fooled by mortgage companies with veteran in their name. Call the mortgage company with veterans in their blood. The entire Alabama Home Mortgage staff are children of military veterans. We understand what it means to serve. If you're looking for a VA loan, call Alabama Home Mortgage 567-4223. With a VA loan, there's no money out of pocket. 100% financing. There's simply nothing better than a VA mortgage loan. Ella, tell them what to do.
Call my mom, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. That's 567-4223.
That's right. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get your VA home loan today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228, that's where we are. Mike Holmes, Will Barfoot in the House Legislative Roundtable. Mike, you wanted to make another point on
yes, we have a little-known referendum happening in Elmore County next Tuesday, voting on bringing our millage rate in line with the state requirements that was passed back in 1992, and that's been covered during some of that time with, I think it was called the 387 bill that gave them a little more leeway to come in compliance. That deadline runs out in 2022, and that's what they're asking is to pass this and realign it. It won't be a tax increase. There's some rumor spreading. There's been some postcard mailers that have gone out saying this is a big tax increase. It's not. It's the same millage rate. It's going to continue the same millage rate. I talked to our revenue commissioner twice this last week to confirm that. He guarantees me the only reason your tax bill would go up is if you have an increase in valuation, your appraisal value. So this bill does not have it. So we need people to turn out and vote for that, because if we don't get this done before 2022, we're going to jeopardize our state funds for Elmore County. We can't afford to do that. We're too dependent on state education funds to let that happen.
And let me ask you this. If it does not pass, what happens?
Well, we still got to 2022, so I guess we could bring it back up again. But I would just soon go ahead and get it done so we're prepared for that deadline.
Let's move to some other subjects, including the highway bill that was passed and the gas tax. Do you think that's going to be challenged in court based on the Mobile Port of Mobile issue?
I've not thoroughly studied that, and I'm not an attorney. Senator Barfoot may have a better take on that, but I've had it explained to me in layman's terms that there is some question about if that was constitutional, what was done there. I don't really have a strong opinion about that.
Well, I am an attorney, but that's over my pay grade. That's dealing with issues that I typically don't deal with in my normal law practice. But will it be challenged? Maybe so. Will it be successful? I kind of doubt it.
Interesting. How about the reconnection of Aaliyah and or breaking it back up the way it was? Where are you two on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I come from a family of law enforcement. My father was a police officer, another uncle was a police officer, and two uncles that were troopers. Within the law enforcement community, I don't know of anybody that I've ever spoken to that thinks Aaliyah was a good thing. And
pulling
it together, that's correct.
And that was the biggest pig in a poke that Bentley ever sold us.
Yeah, and so, but with that being said, breaking it apart is probably that much more difficult. It's hard to undo what's been done.
Mike, how about you on that?
I agree on that. I think it. I don't have any law enforcement in my family, but I have a lot of friends in law enforcement. To the man, they all agree with what Will just said. It was a bad idea. We're supposed to save $35 to $50 million a year, and actually, it's cost us about that much extra every year since it's been in effect. So, I mean, it was a bad idea, and it cost more money. So, there's no win-win in that. But I don't know. I don't know if you can go back now. It's hard to unscramble those eggs.
Tell me, for both of you, what is coming down the pike that we need to know about that we should fear?
Mike, I'll let you start with that. I'll give it some thought.
Well, a very, very quick one. We've got a bill that wants to make it mandatory statewide to appoint your superintendent of education. I think that's a bad idea. That's taking government away from the people that want to vote on their local school board and their local school superintendent. I think we're able to do that now. On individual county by county. In fact, we have a good number, 17 or 18 of our counties do appoint their superintendents already. So why force the rest of the counties into something they don't want to do? That's my question. So I'm against that bill.
Well, we have one minute.
Yeah, there's a broadband access bill, and I'll be honest with you, there's several broadband access bills. There's one of them that started in the House. I think it's HB 400. Not sure exactly where that's at. My understanding is that there would be some inverse condemnation there. Property owners need to be aware of that. Again, I haven't read the bill and don't know what it says yet because it hadn't made its way up to the Senate. But
Will and Mike, I want to thank both of you for being here. I want you to have a wonderful Easter. And Mike, tell Shirley.
Happy Easter.
Tell Shirley I said hi, okay?
I'll certainly do that. Thank you.
See you, Mike. Bye. Thanks.
Thanks. Will, Mike, thank you so very much. We'll be back after our top of the hour break.
Show.